It's the Infinite Shores Podcast,
where we open up an infinite can of worms. I'm Luke.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Maria.
Hi, Maria. Maria, please tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do.
I'm currently a sophomore at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm studying English literature and history, and I'm also interning for a small fantasy and sci-fi publishing company on the side. So lots of reading, lots of books, lots of ideas thrown at me all the time.
Awesome. And we're really excited to have you join us for this podcast. And what we're going to do is just kind of have a conversation where instead of just Luke and I talking about our own opinions about fantasy and science fiction as really theologians and ministers.
And fanboys.
And fanboys, yeah. Which is what I am. We really hope to get an insider's view from Maria in this session. So to start off with, Maria, can I just ask you what got you into reading science fiction and fantasy?
Definitely influence of my sister and influence of friends. I was definitely more of a mainstream reader, but mostly just go by whatever's recommended to me. And so my sister was a huge Tolkien, C.S. Lewis fan, so I got kind of into that. And then Brandon Sanderson was recommended to me, and now I'm this internship. I just have names and authors thrown at me all the time, and typing up reviews of books just makes me want to read all of them. So I'd say that's how I've gotten into more fantasy books.
Okay, cool. At this point, would you say you have a favorite author in that kind of genre of books?
Definitely. Right now, like I said, I'm really into Brandon Sanderson. I just started reading The Way of Kings over summer, and because of school, I'm not as far into it as I would like, but I've really been enjoying his books and loved Mistborn, the Mistborn series. But, I mean, some classic C.S. Lewis, you can't get around loving that. But, I don't know, I'm interested to learn more about fantasy, too. I'm definitely not as deep into it as some other people I know. So there's some main authors I haven't read yet. I need to break into Robert Jordan eventually, and maybe some Orson Scott Card or something, but I'll get
there.
That is
like some time for Robert Jordan. That's going to take you a little bit.
I was just going to say, if you haven't found yourself going down the deep, dark hole that is the Wheel of Time, to warn us when you're starting, and we'll be like, hey, see you in a couple of years.
Yeah.
That takes a long time. Okay, very cool. So what led you to decide you wanted to study literature?
I definitely like the perspectives. Like when you read a book, you get someone's whole different perspective on life. And whether you agree with it or not, you can form an opinion on that. You can like learn what other people think about the world, and you can, in that way, learn about other people. So just the whole learning about how humanity thinks versus just yourself. And I also really love the discussions it causes. So if I don't know about things that are being debated, if I don't know about what people are writing about, what people are thinking about, I'm not going to know what to talk to people about. Or maybe I would, but I wouldn't be as interesting, or it wouldn't be as up-to-date. So if I know what issues are coming up in books, that's people's thoughts, that's what people care about. And you can have really interesting discussions with other people based on those books that you're reading. And so I'd say that is why I like just trying to understand how people work, how people think, and the kind of ideas that they put into their books in that way.
You've just picked up something that Brandon and I have talked about in person before. And you mentioned that you like reading stories. You like reading literature because it gives you a window. I'm going to turn it poetic. It gives you a window into someone else's soul. You get to see why they think, not just what they say. Give me a story. If you just tell me what it is, I won't remember as well. It won't affect me. But tell me a story, and it'll sit with me much better. I guess if we want to slip into theology, Jesus knew that. That's why he did parables.
I was just going to say that, too. That
ha, I win.
Yes, you win. Yeah, Jesus spoke in parables, and I think he did so because he knew that, yeah, I mean, a story is going to grab somebody a lot more than, here's my opinion about this, you know.
And when Jesus has opinion, it's usually a pretty good one, but...
But yet he chose to tell it in a story.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting. Okay, so as a student of literature at University of Wisconsin in Madison, which, if my sources are accurate, is not necessarily the most conservative university in the world. What are some of the challenges you find for yourself?
Definitely writing papers knowing that your teachers will most likely disagree with you is difficult. And then actually writing papers that you agree with, because it would be a lot easier so many times to write the paper arguing what they want to hear rather than what you actually believe. And it's very easy to slip into that. I don't know how many times me and my other friend, who's an English major, tell ourselves, yeah, you can read this paper, but I don't actually believe anything it says, so don't judge me about it, because it's so much easier to write what we know they want to hear and get the good grade rather than, I'm going to write what I believe, and even though they might not agree with me, like, it's that much harder to get the good grade. You have to argue that much harder and be that much more convincing. Also, I would say just the fact that so many different ideas are thrown at you, and because a lot of what an English major is to me is arguing convincingly, these professors are masters of this. They've spent their lives creating arguments about books that may be totally off, but they're darn convincing. So you hear them give their arguments on why this piece of literature means this, and they'll be very convincing about it. And so learning to be confident in yourself, even though I've been studying literature for 2 years, I need to have the confidence in what I believe. But definitely facing that convincing argument and then being able to throw one back is definitely the struggle that happens, I would say.
Sure. Can you maybe tell us, I mean, do you have like a story of a time when you maybe kind of did end up debating a little bit with a professor or having, you know, some kind of a conflict with a professor over something you believe versus what they believe?
Well, I didn't actually ever confront the professor about this, but just a few weeks ago, we were reading poems by Anne Bradstreet, and we read them before class, and I, like, fell in love with these poems. Like, if you've ever read Anne Bradstreet's, like, colonial writer, a female writer of poetry, and she writes these poems that are very, very religious about how, like, her grandchildren would die, but she would, like, console herself with that they were in heaven, and she'd see them one day, and, like, even though it was hard, she would, like, push the, like, this earth is not my home, I will be in heaven, that's better. And I fell in love with these poems. They were beautiful, like confessions of faith. And I went to class, and my professor pretty much was like, these poems are all mean the opposite of what they say because these reasons. And like, she is just putting doctrine in there because the church wouldn't have published her poems if she didn't. But really, she means the opposite. And I was so upset. I was like, no, I understand her, Anne Bradstreet. I understand where she's coming from. No, she did not mean the opposite. This is literally how Christians comfort each other. Like, yes, it is doctrine, but that does not make it inherently bad. But I never actually confronted the professor about this. I talked to my TA a little bit about how I don't always agree with the professor, but it's hard when everyone else holds this professor up to this esteem of, he's from Harvard, he's studied these poems his entire life, of course he's correct, and I've read them once and disagree. So,
what you're talking about, kind of, I mean, it's interesting to me, and I don't know if this is necessarily true all the time. When I went to public university, I kind of felt like this, that I got this impression from some professors that it was like, the truth of whatever maybe an author was trying to put across was like staring them in the face. This is the truth because it comes from God's word and this author is trying to express that. And yet the professor was like determined to say, no, no, that can't be it. And it's almost like because they respect the writer, but they don't respect the religion, they have to find some way to explain away the religion so that they can still respect the writer. I mean, is that a sense that you get?
Yeah, I would definitely say that's true. They want to put these writers in the best light possible, and because the colonial church or the church in general is seen in this like constrictive, negative light, they don't like attaching the church to people, or if they do, they're very, very careful about it, or very like they give a lot of qualifications to it. about why this person in this one case was okay to talk about the church, or like, it's okay for Frederick Douglass to be a preacher because that shows how he took religious seriously, but Anne Bradstreet isn't allowed to because whatever, she's not allowed to because then it puts her in a bad light. I don't know. I think they want to be convincing, so they, professors or anyone, would twist it however they can make their argument the most convincing, regardless of if I think it's accurate or whether I think it's backed up.
So if you were to be talking to somebody just coming into college who's maybe saying, well, okay, I'm concerned about this, or maybe you're talking to a parent whose child is going into college and they're concerned about this, what's going to happen when I have a professor who doesn't believe what I believe, and how are they going to treat me and that sort of thing, what kind of advice would you give?
I would say don't run away from it. Because I think that's the problem so many people have. They hear, oh, you go to Madison. Oh, that must be horrible. And everyone just like beats down your faith every day. And that's not true. Like, I've had a few professors and a few TAs who are like blatantly mean about it. But most people are just open about it. And they totally accept whatever I believe, and are totally cool with it. And I think if you run away from other perspectives, it just hinders you so much more. I've had a professor who was openly gay, and he was one of my favorite literature professors. He just brought the most interesting perspectives into things, and I think that a lot of people would have been afraid of that, or I told other friends, and they were just so appalled. How can you love this professor? He's homosexual. But I don't think that's the perspective we should have, because I look at it from a witnessing perspective, and if I can't understand people, if I can understand where people come from, how am I supposed to witness to them if I don't ever go out there and meet them, if I don't talk to them, if I don't learn how they're thinking? Because we have to meet people where they're at. We can't just sit around, we can't sit around thinking in our own perspectives all the time, or we'll never reach anyone. That's how I think, at least. So I'm not opposed to learning about how other people view the world, because that's how I can get through to them if I ever talk to them.
That is awesome. I don't know how else to respond to that. Just, yay, good.
that is really cool. And I think that's honestly, you know, being that I minister to people of a lot of different ages, I'm going to say that, you know, it sounds like you have a wisdom and a maturity about how to witness to people and how to reach people that many adults twice your age still don't have. So that's really awesome. I want to talk a little bit about your perspective on the world of fantasy and science fiction.
What?
As somebody who's working in that, you mentioned that you are interning for a company. What do you see... if I can say, what are some trends that you see, or is there anything that jumps out to you as like, this is really important to that world right now?
I'd say it's hard for me to gauge just because I've been in it for such a short amount of time. I would say that still like classic tales of like classic adventures are still important, I think. I think they're still respected a lot. But I also think people are trying more and more to go the unconventional route of, like, strong female heroines or unconventional heroes. I would say those types of things are definitely on the rise. People don't want to just do the same things, but I don't know how much my expertise is valid, seeing as I've only been working a few months.
Well, that's a few months more than either of us have been working in that, so it's more valid than ours. Okay, so
I'd like to take what you just said and actually go back to something that you've been talking about. When you talk about being able to understand people from other perspectives and reading literature helping with that, when you read science fiction and fantasy for your job and it expresses something that you have to say, as a Christian, I can't support that, but the writing is good, How do you make that fit together? How do you deal with that?
I guess
it's your job, so I get that it's your job.
Yeah, I guess I haven't had to deal with it too much, and even I know some sci-fi and fantasy can get like really like weird and like dark in weird ways, but I've been learning even more that like it's not just Christians that dislike this. Even my boss has been known to say like that's just too weird. Like no one wants to read that. but I haven't had to deal with it too much yet in the stuff I've been reading, mostly because the one I read was about slavery and was, well, that one was kind of strange actually. And I definitely put that in there. Like, this scene just grossed me out. I didn't like it. But I think that most people would have said that. And the other two I've been reading are more gauged toward younger kids, so there's less in it that I disagree with. It'll be interesting to see how I do deal with eventually the things that disagree with my morals, and my boss knows I'm a practicing Christian Lutheran, and so it'll be interesting to see how those two worlds mix.
When I was in college, I worked in a comic shop, and I'm a conservative Christian, and I'm working in a comic shop, and more than one customer, when they found out who I was studying to be a pastor, and they would just shake their head and say, Christians don't read comics. And they would say that very blatantly. You're now, again, you've not made a lifelong pursuit of this industry at this point, but from your perspective, what would you say, are there Christians interested in science fiction fantasy? Okay, yes, we're here. Are we a strong minority? Are we a majority? How does that play in the industry? Are we a part of it?
I would definitely say you're a part of it based on the whole, I think, well, from my perspective, such a big premise of sci-fi and fantasy is like good versus evil, like the biggest debate that there is, light versus dark, good guys, bad guys. So I feel like that alone is, in a sense, like a Christian foundation. That's what we face. We're good guys versus bad guys too. So I'd say in that way, yes, and I'd say there's a lot of highly respected fantasy that's based in Christianity. I mean, Narnia, Lord of the Rings, those two would like obviously come to mind to me, that are respected by people across the board but still retain their imagery and basic themes of Christianity. I would say, I don't know as much about the comic book world, but I would say that it doesn't surprise me that people would say that, because comic books to me are such a like countercultural revolutionary thing. Like they came out of people who didn't want to go with the flow, didn't want to stick with the norms, which is kind of like a weird time in like the 70s or whenever a lot of comics came out.
I've read some strange things. It's true, and like you, I've read some things that I didn't agree with. Yep.
So I would say to the outsider, it wouldn't seem surprising, but I would guess that comic books deal with those same things, superheroes versus supervillains, and like at their core, they still retain the Christian battle if you had to look for it closely.
Well, I'm just going to ask you one last question for this session. Having a perspective that you have as a student, as an intern in a company that's publishing this kind of thing, for Christians who are really into, you know, interested in science fiction and fantasy and that sort of thing, is there a particular theme or element when it comes to science fiction and fantasy that sets it apart that you would say this is something that's good to look for or good to read for and that makes it a valuable thing to do?
Well, I would go back to what I was saying before of like good versus evil type thing of good wins, because I would say in science fiction and fantasy more than other things, I would say that is true. A main theme is good is going to have to fight really hard, but it'll win. It'll win against this big, scary, evil force that seems to be in every book, whereas I would say more like mainstream fiction definitely doesn't follow that trend. It's definitely more, we're going to make this ending super crazy and unconventional and make the bad guys win instead, because that's more interesting. They fancy it's comforting in that way. Like, you know the guys are going to win. That's our lives, too. We have to fight so, so hard against everything. We're the underdogs, and We're the minority as Christians that we have to go up against this big, scary world who doesn't agree with us very much. It doesn't matter because in God's eyes, we're the good guys and we're going to win at the end. So I would say that's what I see in fantasy.
Okay, sweet, cool. Well, thank you very much for talking with us, and we appreciate your perspective on things, and that's about does it for this session.
Yes, thank you so much for coming and speaking with us and helping us in this conversation. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.